Hope you had a good week. Ha ha ha. Ha. That's good stuff. All right. So we're gonna start into our historical and cultural analysis, and this week we're gonna kind of move into it slowly. Got a few things I want to talk about, and then I've got a nice documentary that we're gonna watch. That's gonna kind of really solidify and kind of ground where we're gonna go forward. For anybody who wasn't here last week, just a quick outlook. So this week and the next week with me, and then August 30th, Jerry Weiss will be visiting, and then the healing service the following week, and then we'll finish up in September, the end of September and October. Really quick, just like last week, as we move into this, I have tons of sources, so I just, they're there, and as we go through it, if anybody has any questions or would like any further information on it, I'd be more than willing to point you in the right direction. All right. So, really quick, we start in Genesis, and I just want to, I want to point out a couple observations. Basically, looking at God planted a garden in Genesis, and then we see Noah who plants a vineyard. Matthew Henry's commentary says this about the garden, and this is the Garden of Eden. No delights can be satisfied to the soul, but those which God himself has provided and appointed for it. Eden signifies delight and pleasure. Wherever it was, it had all desirable conveniences without any inconveniences. In Noah's story, the Hebrew word for plant, neta, includes within its meaning sowing and harvest. Hence, winemaking was considered the end process of planting the vineyard after the harvest. It is significant that this story about Noah, the first winemaker, directly follows God's covenant with Noah and all of creation, as we see in 9:18-17. Be fruitful and multiply. This theme of wine blessing and covenant appears repeatedly throughout the Hebrew Bible. I believe that just as Matthew Henry's comments to satisfaction being specific when provided by God himself, so is our satisfaction and pleasure in wine a derivative of his man to be fruitful and multiply. So, as we touch on the Noah story, basically what it does is it brings us right to the grape species Vitis vinifera, which is the Eurasian wild grapevine. This is the oldest evidence, for it comes from the upland areas of eastern Turkey, Armenia, northwest Iran, and Georgia. And it's mostly found within the highland areas near the Caucasus, and the Zagros Mountains. So really quick, you have the Caucasus Mountains that run here above and through Georgia. And then the Zagros run right down here and then up in through Turkey. And you'll also see we have Mount Ararat here that sits kind of right at borders of northern, northwestern Turkey and Georgia. The biblical account offers an explanation of why the wine's grapes, why the wine grapes' origins are associated with northeastern Turkey and nearby regions. By planting the vineyard, Noah literally set down roots after the chaos of the flood. Growing wine required a fixed location, a settlement at minimum, with people creating a new organization for virtually everything it did, which was quite different from the nomadic or hunter-gatherer that existed before the flood. Throughout Noah's initial establishment of a vineyard, he subsequently made wine and fulfilled the mandate from God to disperse that technology to all humans. The guiding insight is the metaphorical notion of humankind's becoming civilized, with the cultivation of grapes for wine as a principal component of humanity's development of a closer relation to nature and to God. And I just want to read that specific passage to you. So Genesis 8:16 through 9:1. Go forth from the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both birds and cattle, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful, and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every bird whatsoever moveth upon the earth, after their families went forth out. And Noah builded an altar unto Jehovah, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And Jehovah smelled the sweet savor, and Jehovah said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for that the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done, while the earth remaineth seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and days and night shall not cease. And finally, in verse 1, And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. Emphasis on replenish the earth. So we kind of look at this specifics of Noah planting the vineyard as part of his overall mandate to replenish the earth. And when you look today, historically, within that area is where the most abundance of natural and cultivated varietals, the most varietals out of any other place in the world, are in that specific region. And ultimately, then you see the spread from that location out amongst all of, into Europe, down, up, and everywhere. And then ultimately, obviously it spreads its way across the whole world. And it's, it's interesting when you look at this last point of that, this was the principal component of humanity's development. And when you look at trade and relational development amongst peoples and nations, it all was derivative with wine as being at the center for most of early civilization. So what I want to do to kind of, you know, ground where we have come and the history that still exists within that area. Do you have a... Okay. This is basically a documentary of wine and its people and its culture within Georgia, the country of Georgia. And you can see there that to this day, they're still practicing winemaking and utilizing the vessels and stuff that were used and done and conducted for thousands of years, probably in the very beginning with Noah and his family going forward. And so as we use that as like a to actually see and to kind of just connect with, you know, where it comes from, then we can move forward and we'll start to see how the spread and the story moves out across the area. Yeah, go ahead.
Ordinary wines, I don't see that many, if any, wines from this region. Do you think that's more of a function of a lack of marketing and export structures in those countries?
A little bit, and it has a lot to do with the suppression of what they were under, and they're just coming out of, you know, being under the Soviet regimes. They were under Soviet rule for so many years, and a lot of that stuff was done away with, was ruined, was lost. And so now the culture and the country is under a vital kind of re-identifying themselves with their roots within this area. All right. Yeah, I am working on a lot of stuff that's very specific to that, so that we can actually truly taste and smell and ha ha, yeah. All right, let me I just want to say for the recording, this is, you can go to YouTube and do a search for Georgia, the land where wine was born.
Wine globally has become so boring. Same old.
How's the volume?
Same winemaking process. What I think the great wine is the wine first. You can taste the individuality of the person who makes it. It's all about translating all that beautiful wealth and all that soil into that wine. I think Georgia. Tiny country, stuck between Russia, Armenia, Turkey. No one's really heard of Georgia, but in fact, in this place, they make truly innovative wine. They have traditions that take like thousands of years. And they have a way of making wine, which means that they add very little, so it's very natural wine making. So I want to find out whether there's a future for this highly individual wine. You look through the little streets, and actually there's like great vines everywhere. In the middle of Tbilisi, it's just quite incredible. Well, who would have been bringing up Georgia? They have been making wine for over 8,000 years, and it is believed to be the cradle of wine. Isn't that right, Adam?
Yeah, we are the UN of the greatest pleasure in the world of the
day life.
There's vines everywhere here. Even the alphabet is shaped on the vine cord.
And the word wine came from Georgian word vino.
It has mountains, the sea, there's wolves, bears. A quarter of the land is under national parks.
Yes.